Hello and welcome to the Daily Dits podcast. I'm your host, Lauren Mitchell. It's Thursday, the 9th of July, and on today's episode, well, we're getting two for the price of one. We're heading all the way to Edinburgh to talk about something called Salamanca Day. I've got no idea what to expect, but I'm very excited to introduce BFBS Scotland's Mark McKenzie and Jim Gellatley. Hello!
Hello. When the producer said, bog off, I it took a couple of seconds for me to work out she meant buy one, get one free, two for the price of one. But yes, we're here.
You are indeed. Mark McKenzie, have you got any advice to Jim about how to handle the Day That It's podcast?
Just go with it. She's the boss and listen to everything
absolutely.
She says. If you just straighten up slightly smile lots.
Oh, I like this. Yeah? I'm the boss. I like that. Can someone tell the... someone tell the actual bosses? That would be great.
All that responsibility, Lauren.
So please, can you tell me, what is Salamanca Day?
Okay, it's a battle honour for three rifles and rifles in general. Speaking of generals, Jim, you have been doing a wee bit of a deep dive on this.
Yeah, so basically commemorating the Duke of Wellington's victory over the French at the Battle of Salamanca in 1812. It's fought near the town of Salamanca, which is in western Spain. And this battle, a major turning point in the Peninsular War, which ultimately forced Napoleon's forces out of the Iberian Peninsula. So a long time ago, but remembered today, and quite an event yesterday.
Can you ask the question again, please?
What is Salamanca Day?
It is a fantastic day where the battalion comes together with their families and everybody celebrates. But that's what it's based on. It's all based around this. You were at Senelagar and the Garrison Family Day at the weekend there. You know what it's like when people get together. They're able to let their hair down, have a bit of fun. And that's that community spirit. And what they do here is, they've brought it forward, by the way, because the battalion's about to stand down for summer leave, and it would have been a bit mean to get them all back on the 22nd of July to do that. They broke the day down into three parts. It started with a sports morning, because it can't be the military without making people run around.
Yeah.
So we had basketball, we had football, we had rugby, we had the British Warrior Army fitness as well, and a tug of war. Now, I'm nervous here because I know who won, but I can't tell you because the guys don't know because they're going to be told on Friday morning. So you'll need to keep a wee eye on our social media for that. And we'll let you know when you can tell everyone tomorrow on Daily Dits.
So you've got a lot of power in your hands right now, Mark McKenzie.
God, yeah, I shouldn't be trusted with secrets because I just can't keep it. I'm sweating. Sweating is really, really close. It was between two. It was between. No, I can't even tell you that much.
Don't tell me.
It was very close.
I'll find out tomorrow and we'll tell everybody on Daily Dits. Now, am I right in thinking that the way that this works and one of the ways to sort of like mark Salamanca Day is this idea of like reenacting some sort of scenes?
So you've seen it previously.
Yeah, and in previous years, the battalion themselves, the riflemen, have reenacted them. It's sometimes a bit non-PC with the French waving baguettes rather than rifles. And it's fabulous, but it was a bit different this year.
They literally rolled back the clock. The ethos of it is still the same. You know, it's about education, because the military built on history, and that's really, really important that we remember what's happened in the past. And they had one of the young officers describing what was going on, but they got reenactors involved as well.
It's July 1812. The sun rises over the rolling hills of western Spain, casting long shadows across a land scarred by years of war. Here, the ancient city of Salamanca, two great armies prepare to clash. The seasoned Anglo-Portuguese forces under the Duke of Wellington and the proud French army led by Marshal Marmont. The fighting was fierce and chaotic. The French left flank, caught off guard and overwhelmed, began to crumble. Every inch of ground was contested with brutal determination. The clash of steel, the thunder of hooves, and the roar of artillery created a cacophony of war. Yet amidst the chaos, Wellington's strategy held firm.
General salute! Present!
I'm Lieutenant Freya Bianfe from Three Rifles. We're here today celebrating Salamanca Day, our regimental day. It's been an honour to have the 68th Folk come up from Durham to support us with this. They've just put on a stellar display of what the Battle of Salamanca looked like in 1812. And it's wonderful to be able to share that with the Riflemen of Three Rifles.
Well, I definitely felt like I was transported to the scene. Thus, that made me jump!
She was absolutely phenomenal with her delivery of it. And the reenactment was going on. You can see the video of that now on the BFBS Scotland Instagram and also on Facebook as well.
Yeah, no, it was pretty incredible. But it was followed by the riflemen then getting to question the reenactors. And that was fascinating, watching them integrate together and looking at the uniforms and having a go with the rifles from back in the day.
So the actor in question is well and truly in the role of somebody who was in the battle. And then they ask them questions and they answer them as if they were, like, there.
Yeah. Now, let's be honest. They were excited to be able to ask questions, but they were more excited to get their hands on 200-year-old weapons.
Yeah, probably.
Let's hear from one of the reenactors just now.
Yeah, so we're going to start off, we're going to form up, and then we're going to start by doing some column movement. During the Salamanca campaign, the start of it was characterised by parallel marching, where the British column and the French column mirrored each other across the plains of Spain, looking for an advantage. They didn't get an advantage in the end, and eventually Wellington was forced to retire on Salamanca. Once they got there, he sent out light infantry pickets to protect the flanks as they stayed overnight. We're a light infantry regiment, the precursors to the rifles, and we started the battle. So on the 22nd of July, the 68th Regiment, which we represent, protected the British kind of pickets, and the French couldn't advance past them to see what was beyond a ridge line that they were protecting. And all the French could see was a dust cloud, and they took that to mean that the British were retreating.
Okay.
So to try and catch the British at the retreat, Marshal Marmont sent his forces on a wide-sweeping flank march. And unfortunately, they got spread out in that march. Wellington wasn't retreating. He saw them get spread out. He took that as an advantage, and he did a very quick kind of counter-attack, with the British falling on the heads of each French division as they came up and forced them back very quickly. At that moment, so we're going to then go into kind of showing the guys what light infantry would do, going extend order, advancing firing, tying firing, and then line infantry drill, forming up in close order, doing volleys. We're then going to form up, fire final volley, get the guys to imagine that they are the French columns advancing on the British, and then we're going to see them off at point of bayonet and charge into them. Hopefully not hurting anyone in the process. We're then going to kind of fall out and show the guys a little closer look at our kit to show them what, if they were in the army 200 years ago, what they would have looked like and been dressed like. So hopefully it goes well.
It's changed quite a bit over these years.
Just a little bit, yeah. Yeah.
How would you describe what you're wearing?
So obviously it's the standard British red coat, so the classic British Army look. Mine's an officer's coat, so it's a finer quality than you'll see on the men later. So they wear what's called brick red, while mine's a more scarlety, brighter red. Collar and cuffs are green, and this is a distinction of our regiment. So we're the 60th Durham Regiment of Light Infantry. So we have specific green collars and cuffs. You see our plates have got 68th written on them, our buttons have got 68th written on them. They're all distinctions of the regiment. We're light infantry, so we've got wings, we've got green plumes, we've got bugle horns, which donate us all as light infantrymen. But it's the standard infantry uniform that you would have seen 200 years ago.
How long have you been doing this?
I've been doing this 28 years.
I thought you were going to say 200 years.
Like, no, of course, that's 20, some sort 28 is bad program. Enough. Yeah.
So that's Lieutenant Walsh who is leading the reenactment. And the word hopefully there when he said that everyone would be okay, it filled me with slight dread. You were watching from afar.
I was watching, and they charged the soldiers. They said, "Right, you guys will be the French." So the soldiers were sat and standing in front of them, and they charged towards them. I was like, "Bayonets fixed." It was quite scary, but they stopped just in time.
All perfectly under control. Risk assessments were ticked, and the likes. No one was harmed. But the word hopefully is never something you want to hear just before.
No, not at all. I'm sure that's not what the military want to hear either. But it sounds like the detail that goes into this is incredible. I mean, even just hearing him describe what he was wearing, even down to having, you know, like a scarlet coat on. Brilliant.
I had to ask him as well how he felt, because they do a lot of reenactments. These guys have been to the likes of Waterloo, where they were part of a cast of thousands taking part in that. They go to Beamish on a regular basis. If you've never been to Beamish, then, you know, it's well worth a trip. But that's civilians they're presenting in front of. There they were, presenting in front of current serving soldiers. So were they more apprehensive?
Yeah,
I think is the...
I was going to say, do you think that they might be a little bit more nervous? Because as civilians, we might not know some of the technical things or, yeah, you know, some of the military knowledge behind it. But obviously serving personnel do, and they probably love to prove them wrong.
He said that they'd been up a wee bit earlier and they'd gone through some extensive drills beforehand just to make sure that they were as sharp as they possibly could. It was just a fantastic day, and we were blessed because the lead up to it, the weather has been dreadful here in Edinburgh. Yesterday it was warm, and I suspect if you were wearing what he was wearing, it was even warmer. Then you put that into the context of how it would have been in Spain, for example, when the guys, you know, this was real life 200 years ago. You might not remember it. I don't remember it. Jim just about remembers
Bob,
that.
Yeah.
Now, be nice. Jim, actually, I do have a question for you, a bit of a cheeky one, because I know that you said that you've seen these reenactments before. Was this one of the best ones you've seen?
Well, yeah, because these guys, I would say they do it for a living, but they don't, because they're all volunteers. And what was brilliant as well, I was asking about it later on, you know, they're taking no payment, and the rifles were almost embarrassed by that. So gave them a wee present at the end before they headed off. But they had the uniforms and everything, whereas in the past it was almost like going into the fancy dress box.
Right, okay, fair enough. I'm I can see where you're going with that. Definitely good.
Yeah, I wouldn't. It's an image that's going to take me a wee while. If that's in Jim's fancy dress box, it's something that can't get in my head fast enough.
Well, it seems like there is a lot of fun happening in this last week. Like you said, sort of stand down is incoming sort of towards the end of the week. Has it been a very busy week at Dragon Barracks?
Yeah, it really has. And it started on Monday. You know, when you're discussing ideas and somebody comes up with one and you go, let's do that. That's kind of what happened with this challenge. So it's 24 hours, and every hour, on the hour, they would run 3 miles. Now, the psychology of that is, if you can run the 3 miles in, say, 15 minutes, 20 minutes, then you get 40 minutes downtime. But you're obviously putting more energy into it. If it takes you 40 minutes, you're only getting 20 minutes recovery time. They were the celebrities yesterday. I was with them for a wee bit of the day yesterday after they'd finished. And the community spirit was just incredible. The atmosphere on the parade square as the live band were playing. Jim, it was a covers band. You would have recognised most of the tunes.
Absolutely. Loads of Britpop classics. So I was in my element with that. Lots of charities along as well, and people who help the Forces family. So Forces Children Scotland were represented and Army Welfare Service there as well. Plus we had the other services along. I was at the briefing in the morning. It was quite funny because they were saying, we'll have the fire service over here, the police over there, the kids are welcome to go on board, but don't go near the ambulance because that's actually there on medical duty.
It wasn't there to be played with.
The police car, turns out the police car was there on official duty as well, but that's another story for another day.
Oh, guys, I'm going to have to get you both on the pod again. This has been so much fun. Thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you.
Pleasure.
Well, what else is going on across BFBS? Well, it's Thursday, so there's a new episode of Sit Rep to watch or listen to if you want a deeper dive into defence and foreign policy stories. This week, Kate Jabot and Professor Mike Clark discuss this week's NATO summit in Ankara, which has been billed as a reboot of the alliance. You can watch on YouTube or listen wherever you get your podcasts, and of course, on bfbs.com/sitrep. Well, thank you so much for joining us for today's episode of Daily Dits. I've been your host, Lauren Mitchell, and I'll see you tomorrow.